Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri. We're still teaching on the subject of the exclusivity of Israel, the true Israel, to God's covenants. Today's lesson is probably one of the keys to dealing with Christians and understanding the message. The title is Born Again or Begotten from Above. And we're going to be studying John 3, where it says, "Me must be born again." Is that really what it is saying? If ever there was a need to put aside preconceived ideas and teachings, there is a great need to do so in the present use of the expression born again. There is a common conception and presentation throughout the Christian world that is an absolutely false and misleading error. The basis of the expression is found in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, or he's talking to Nicodemus, of course, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." In most translations, the words born again have been carried on in a traditional manner, suggesting that a second birth is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Many Bibles in their margins will have from above instead of born again, showing this is what the original word means. When we look into the words actually spoken, we find that it was Nicodemus who made the suggestion about entering a second time into his mother's womb. This was the interpretation that Nicodemus put on Jesus' words. But Jesus did not say anything about a second time ever, if the translations make him appear to say he did, even if it makes him sound like he says that. Jesus did not use the word again. Let me say that again. Jesus did not use the word again. There is no manuscript at all that says Jesus used the word again. The word deuterios that Nicodemus spake appears in the New Testament 44 times, and it always means twice or again. Jesus did not use the word deuteros. Jesus used the word anothen. Strong's says anothen includes from above or from the first or the beginning. Thayer says anothen used of things that come from heaven, from God, or from a higher upper place, or from the very first, or from the origin. Knowing this one word difference helps understand and shows up the problems there are with the popular concept. Jesus confirmed to Nicodemus that he was not speaking of a second birth. When he told Nicodemus that he was referring to being born of water and of spirit, Jesus did not use the future tense as did Nicodemus. Jesus was speaking of something which existed at the time of speaking. The Christian church has picked up on the words of Nicodemus rather than the words of Jesus. Jesus chided Nicodemus for not knowing these things. Likewise, today our teachers need chiding for the same reason, of not knowing these things. Jesus went on to say that not every person is begotten of the Spirit, noting that that which is born of flesh is of the flesh, being begotten that way. Let's look at the word again. The word anothen that Jesus uses appears 14 times in the New Testament, and it does not have a meaning similar to deuteros, meaning a second time, or palin, again. The later being the word most commonly translated as again. The adverb anothen always refers to place and is used of past or former time, but never the future time. In order to discuss the word anothen, let us consider examples of how the word has been translated. Matthew 27:51 and Mark 15:38 has the same verse, "The veil of the temple was rent in twain, anothen, from the top to the bottom." This would be applied as being born from the top. Luke 1:3, having had perfect understanding all things from the very first, Anathen, born from the first, which was Adam. In other words, when he says you must be born from the first, meaning that you must be a descendant of Adam. John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all, Anathen, born from above. John 19:11, except it were given thee from above, born from above. John 19:23, now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout, born from the top. Acts 26:5, which knew me from the beginning, born from the beginning one. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, Anathen, meaning born from that which is above. James, not in the future, but in the past. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above, born from above. None of these indicate, again, a second birth in the future, in any case. Let's look at the word born. Begetting and birth are two vastly different events. Beginning, as used of men, is the action and process of conception. For example, Abraham begat Isaac, Matthew 1:16. Birth, as used of women, is a movement from one environment to another. For example, Mary, of whom Jesus was born, Matthew 1-16. This word, geneo, varies with the context, and it may have an abstract meaning also where it is used of figurative father-child relationships. The word born in John 3:3-5 is geneo, and it is found 98 times in the New Testament. The sense usually has connection with procreation, the most prominent meaning being begat or begotten. We must thus now determine the time when this begetting took place. When did you become begotten? When were you begotten? Are you saying that you are begotten of the Lord after you were begotten in the flesh? Well, that's not what this verse is saying. All modern teachers insist that people already born can be reborn in the future. But when used of a male, begotten is usually about the time of conception. When born is used of a female, it is usually about physical birth. Thayer, in his dictionary, says it is of mankind begetting children. It is often used metaphorically of bringing others over to one's way of life. Vine says chiefly used of men begetting children. If we want to understand its use in John 3:3-5, it is necessary to look at the Greek. They are not future tenses. Modern theology or teaching likes to use the words in the future tense from tradition, but this is a total error. We have been taught so wrongly to use the words "except a man be born again" in the future tense that it is hard for many to think otherwise. But "be born" is indefinite with respect to time. Jesus taught exactly what is taught through the Old Testament, namely that God's race is born from an original sowing of God's seed. Born of water and of spirit, this is not only an interesting subject, but John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, is a key verse. Because of the "and," we see there are two requirements for perceiving or understanding or entering the kingdom of God. Water as well as spirit. What is believed here determines which gospel you will believe. We have the choice to believe that any man of any race can see the kingdom of God, or we can believe the limitations that Jesus presents. The word for water is hudor, H-U-D-O-R in the Greek, and it is used of water of all sorts. On its own, it means nothing but water. Some religious so-called experts argue that the expression refers to baptism, but this cannot be so because the thief on the cross or the stake went to paradise without being baptized. So we have to look further. A person is begotten of water as part of the natural process following biological conception. But Jesus added the words, "and of the Spirit." This makes it clear that the ability to comprehend the kingdom of God is included at the time of conception. In other words, at conception, you must be conceived of the natural body and the spirit. To determine what this is about, we must of necessity go back to the Old Testament to see who and what was generated or begotten of the spirit. We can anticipate that the Old Testament will agree with the New Testament. Who did God beget? Exodus 4:22. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Statements like this immediately exclude all the other races, and potentially those before Jacob. So there is no need to go further back in the Bible apart from noting that both Abraham and Sarah were from the Adamic seed. They could not have been from the pre-Adamic or other later seed lines. When God separated Abraham and Sarah, he regenerated their ability to conceive a child and commemorated the event by changing their names, adding the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet unto their names. Abram became Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah. This number is connected with the Spirit of God. The life in Sarah's womb was Spirit-endowed. Now consider these questions. If Israel was God's firstborn son, then who are their offspring? For Israel is to be the son, then who is Israel's father? Is it not God? Does not Israel originate from God if Israel is his son? Nowhere in the Bible can we find any suggestion of the humanist brotherhood of all men. God is expressed as being the father of Israel only. He is the father of all men of Israel, not all men of all races. Jesus taught his disciples, all Israelites only, to pray, saying, Our Father which art in heaven. This is better translated, Our Father, the one in heaven. Neither God nor man can be called a father until they have begotten offspring. There is no suggestion of a spiritual birth later in life. God states that he is a father in Exodus 4:22, therefore he begat offspring, and is the father of all descendants from Israel. The Apostle Peter declares that we, Israelites to whom he was writing, are begotten from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Well, how can he say the Word of God? Because in John chapter 1 it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, the incorruptible seed came from God himself. It must be immediately pointed out that in this verse, the incorruptible seed of God, the Father, is spores rather than sperma. The meaning of this word, spores, is the sowing back in the past, or sown seed, and refers to the firstborn, Isaac, conceived in Sarah's womb. After God had regenerated Sarah's and Abraham's ability to conceive a child, it is now an appropriate place to look at Sarah and Abraham, who are shown to be the place or origin, being that originating rock or quarry and the pit. Abraham and Sarah, let's look at their origin, Isaiah 51:1-2. God says, Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. It is not necessary here to establish all the reasons as to why God had needed to make a new start with Abraham and Sarah. We have to accept that he did call Abraham alone. From this beginning, God made promises to Abraham that were to follow on to Abraham's seed, his Zera. Only those born from this new beginning could comprehend the kingdom of God. This beginning was from God because God had regenerated Abraham and Sarah, enabling them to bear one child. In this way, Isaac was born because of God's action. From Adam to Abraham, Abraham's pure line contained the breath of life. So says Job. So where did the people come from who did not have the breath of life? These men and women originated from Genesis 1 or from some other source. Through misgenerative activity, Satan had introduced pollution to the bloodstream of the sons of Adam, and we find that God sought to eliminate the products of such activity. Noah was spared only because he was pure in his generations, Genesis 6:9. He was perfect in his generations, and so he had not mixed, and so he and his unmixed family were preserved. Later, the children of Israel were to destroy the mixed breed of the Canaanites. These could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They could not witness in their spirit and say, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16, as an Israelite is able to do. This principle is a continuing theme in the Bible. Through Abraham and Sarah, God established the basis for Abraham's seed to become the sons of God, John 1:12. God was making a new beginning with Abraham. None other than the seed of Abraham through the son of promise, Isaac, has his opportunity or potential. Abraham's seven other sons did not have this potential because they were born before Isaac. The descendants of Isaac were begotten of the Spirit from their conception. This is why those among Isaac's descendants who believe are regarded as being anointed by the Spirit. Galatians 3:16, Paul is able to declare, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. In 1 Corinthians 2:7-16, Paul, confirming this, tells the brethren, kinsmen of the same womb of Sarah, that they have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. He says that through this we might know or comprehend the things that are freely given to us, the brethren of God. He goes on to further declare that the natural man, those not born of Isaac's line, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He affirms Jesus' statement that anyone who is not begotten of the original sowing in the womb of Sarah cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received abideth in you." 1 John 3:9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit or practice sin, for his seed remaineth in him." 1 John 5:18, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." There is this relationship between the anointing, the right seed, and being begotten of God. Formed from the womb, Isaiah 42:2, "Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, that made thee, Israel, and formed thee from the womb." In what way would Israel be formed in the womb? Whose womb? The word beten means that we mean today by the womb. Men do not have a womb. Abraham did not have a womb, but Sarah did. In Isaiah 51:1-2, as quoted above, speaking of Sarah, we find the womb described as the hole of the pit. This metaphor is a term that extends to the mountain from which the stone mountain is taken. This is God's mine. James, who was writing to the 12 tribes, says, "Of his own will begat he us, Israelites, with the word of truth." James 1:18, "begat," as has been shown, is chiefly about conception, not physical birth. Isaiah 43:1, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." This verse indicates a difference between Israel and Jacob. Here we have the one being created, the other being formed. So there are differences associated with the use of these words in different contexts. Isaiah 44:24, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things." Here again, the Lord is speaking to Israel only. Nowhere in Scripture can we find reference to the Lord being the Redeemer of any other people apart from those of Israel who are formed from the womb. In the New Testament, we still find references to the womb of Sarah. Therefore, it is important as ever in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. Romans 4:19, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." Contained in the first verse of this chapter, we see Abram, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, the father of us all. That is, all Israelites. Of verse 16 is Abraham after the flesh. This still is not a spiritual rebirth. Remember that Paul was writing to the house of Israel to whom he was sent. Nicodemus, as a master or teacher in Israel, should have known these things. Jesus told him so, in no uncertain terms. Teachers today likewise do not know these things. The womb of Sarah and the offspring from that womb have been spiritualized away. The common New Testament word brethren, as has been shown, is kinsman of the womb. What other womb would this be other than the womb of Sarah? He came into his own. He's born of God. John 1:11-12. "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Quoting R.K. and R.N. Phillips in the Only Begotten God. Verse 11 is almost completely misunderstood by the whole of Christendom today, and the Authorized Version translation is the main cause of this misunderstanding. The word own appears twice in the verse, but in the first clause it is neuter gender, while in the second it is masculine. Therefore, John is referring to two different things. The first clause states that Jesus came into his own possessions, neutral, his land, his kingdom, his city, his temple. In the second clause, the term his own is the Greek term ioidios, masculine gender, which means literally the members of one's own household. In this case, it refers only to those who had authority over his kingdom, city, and temple. The vast majority of Israel were scattered abroad in the dispersion, and at that time were still classed as not my people. Before we can complete the translation of verse 11, we have to look at the beginning of verse 12. The Greek text of verse 12 begins, "But to those who did receive him." In this case, in the last clause of verse 11, we have another instance of the Authorized Version translating two different Greek words as one English word, in this case, received. The last clause of verse 11 states, in effect, that those who were ruling over his possessions neither received nor accept him as the owner. It points to outright rejection, not through ignorance, which is covered by the phrase "does not recognize him" in verse 10, but by willful refusal to accept him as the rightful owner. However, in the first sentence of verse 12, the word "received" has the meaning of to welcome or to accept willingly. Hence, while the Judean nation rejected him at a national level, there were individuals in that nation who did both recognize and receive him gladly. Verse 11 and 12, read in the Greek text. Verse 11, "He comes unto his own possessions, but the people ruling over his possessions refused to accept him as the rightful owner." Verse 12, "But to those who welcome him, to the ones believing in his name, to them he gives authority to make themselves become, because of their beliefs, children of God again. There were not anyone on earth who were born of bloods, plural in Greek, or by the will of flesh." 1 John 1:10-13. "Jesus came to his household who were born by the will of God." There, household is used as stock, race, descendants of one. Phillips and Phillips again points out, the phrase translated "the sons of God" in verse 12 of the Authorized Version is quite wrong. The Greek phrase is tikna theo, which means children of God. Immature children, no doubt, but it does not mean sonship, for sonship points to growth and ultimate maturity, nor does it have anything to do with the false doctrine of adoption. On the contrary, the phrase forcefully asserts the natural genetic relationship of a child with its true father, and hence those children of God are the biological descendants of God himself. Note that John 1:13 states, "which were born not of blood," plural, "nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." To which Phillips and Phillips point out, verse 13 states that those who were given the right to become children of God again were those begotten, not out of blood, meaning not out of the blood of men, which is of ordinary human descent, nor out of the will of the flesh, which was Sarah's demand to have children by Hagar and Keturah, nor out of the will of man, which was Abraham's desire of an heir, but out of God are begotten. The Greek verb begotten is plural in this verse, and so cannot be limited to the birth of Jesus. Isaac was not born of Abraham's will. Abraham was past that. Isaac was begotten by God's will when he regenerated Abraham and Sarah's ability to have a child and to give that child an individually incorruptible spirit. Isaac was thus begotten from above, as are Isaac's descendants from the time of their conception. In this portion of John 1, we find the origin of those who can believe in Jesus. Also, we find where they did not and do not come from. Jesus came only alone to those begotten from above by God. He is shown to be the Redeemer of only his kinsmen. A person does not exercise his will in determining where and of what race he should be born. The will factor of the person being born does not function in normal physical conception and birth. God determined what seed a person is. God knows who are begotten of the Spirit from above. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God knows those that are His. The word born, geneo, is in the following scriptures, which is used in the genealogies and all other places as being begotten or conceived. It does not relate to some spiritual birth. John 1:13, which were born are begotten, not of blood. John 3:3, except a man be born again, that is begotten from above, conceived from above. John 3:5, except a man be born, begotten of water and of spirit. John 3:8, so is everyone who is born, begotten of the Spirit. John 18:37, to this end was I born, referring to Jesus' physical birth from Mary. Matthew 2:1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, referring to His physical birth from Mary. Spiritualize these references if you like, but you will be like Nicodemus, not knowing these things. Well, what about regeneration? In Scripture, there is an expression that it means born again. This is palingenesia, or palin, again, plus Genesis, born. There are only two occurrences where this word is used. Matthew 19:28, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Not talking about individuals, talking about the whole universe, the whole world. Titus 3:5, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is not appropriate to expand this subject here. We're not teaching this subject at this time, but it does not have anything to do with anything but the tribes of Israel's limitation. What is being said? Simply this: there is a great difference between begotten and born. Begettal refers to conception, whereas born refers to physical birth. The Greek word geneo means conception or beget when used of men, and physical birth when used of women. Unless a person is begotten of the line that arises from the original sowing, the begetting of God, that person does not come to contain the ability to perceive the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be conceived from the beginning seed, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be birthed when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be conceived, containing flesh and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Man was the first to be conceived of flesh and the Spirit. Adam was the first to be conceived of flesh and the Spirit. So you must be from the stock of Adam. Because of the dilution of the spirit of the Adamic descendants, God destroyed all but Noah and his three sons who had retained their original conception traits. God started over with Abraham and Sarah. Their reproductive bodies were dead. God remade them and re-empowered them with flesh and spirit. The result was Isaac. Thus Isaac only shall be shall his calling be. It's important that you understand that the descendants of Isaac are the ones who make up the people of God, which is called Israel. And today they are known as the sons of Isaac, or Isaac's sons, or Sac's sons. Saxons, Anglo-Saxons, and the Celtic people and others of kindred label are God's people. And they do not live in that little land of Palestine. They live all over Europe and the islands between Europe and the United States, North America. And they live in Australia and New Zealand and a few other spots in the world. These are God's people. And they originated from God. And we are His because the Spirit that dwells in us confirms who we are.